said tonight, we'll be able to take back into our workplace, the school, and be able to use. And I trust that that's going to be what we're going to accomplish tonight. My lovely assistants are handing out the outline for this evening, and I want you to use them. We're going to work our way through this lesson tonight together. If you have a pen or some type of a marking utensil, you might want to grab that. And we're going to spend some time thinking about and studying some various scriptures. 88 verses, actually, by my count. We're going to read 88 verses in the Bible tonight. It's going to be one of those lessons where it's going to be Bible reading. And what I want you to do is I want you to read with me. We're going to let the Holy Spirit do the teaching tonight. He's a lot better teacher than I am. And so as we go through this outline, I want you to mark some things that you can use, and I want you to pick out a few verses during the course of this lesson, put an asterisk next to it, the ones that you would like to memorize. And what I mean by that is we're going to memorize them so that you can have them on hand, ready at hand, to be able to talk to your neighbors and friends about how they can save their soul. The Bible speaks about working out your salvation with fear and trembling. And tonight what I want you to do is I want you to become adept at taking a passage of Scripture and some thoughts from the Bible and be able to talk to your friends and neighbors about how they can be saved. You know, we are living in a simplistic society. Everybody wants to dumb down and simplify things to its almost absurdity. When it comes to the plan of salvation, I can ask you a question. What does it take in order to be saved? If I was to say, can you give me the plan of salvation from the Scriptures? What do you see on the board? What is that? If you take your Bible open, I want to show you what that is. To Ephesians chapter 3. It's not in your outline, so you're going to have to work with me on this one. In Ephesians chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 9 and go down to verse 11. Ephesians chapter 3, 9 through 11. Let's read that passage together, and then I'm going to ask you to again look at that picture and let's see what we can come up with. Ephesians 3, beginning in verse 9. And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. The passage is talking about something that was hidden and now is made manifest. And what is regarded as the manifold wisdom of God. The word manifold is talking about, and if you look it up in the Greek, it means multifaceted, multicolored, various things that blend together. And of course, what you see up here is a mosaic. And a mosaic could be, as you can think of, there's actually thousands of birds in that picture. And they take all these birds and they put them together. And of course, then you stand back and you look at the big picture and what do you see? You see a bird. But in reality, there are thousands of birds in that picture that make up one bird. A seagull, I guess that's what that is. And as you think about it, then what you have is the multicolored, the multifaceted, various things that when put together into a mosaic, then you can stand back and see the big picture. You can see what they were trying to create. God has done that in the Bible. He has taken many things. 23 to my count, there's probably actually more than that. But 14 from the vantage point of God and what He does to work out our salvation. And 9 things that we can read in the Scriptures that I have to take into account and to do in order to work out my salvation. So at least at my count, there's at least 23 things that God has that if blended all together explains how I'm going to go to heaven. And I think it's important that all of us not get so simplistic. And my reality, and my point is, cheapen grace down to where you can say the sinner's prayer, as some people put it. Or you can even come up with even what many of us would say is the five steps of the plan of salvation. Friend, there's a lot more than that. And what I want you to do is to be adept at explaining all of these. Now, in order to do that, you got to know the Bible. You got to know where they are in Scripture. So our plan tonight is simply to read the Bible together over the next few moments. We're going to read these Scriptures. I know you're thinking, 88, we're going to be here for 6 hours. But what we're going to do is we're just going to read without comment all of these verses. And as we read them, at the end, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions and then we'll close our lesson. But just pay attention, and you have to be able to, if I ask you to explain each one of these points, could you do it to explain your salvation so that you can then explain it to others? Let's first look at heaven's part in our salvation. In Isaiah 12 and in verse 2, God the Father is part of our salvation, obviously. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yahweh, the Lord, is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Titus 3, verse 4. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us, through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8, verse 33. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. And 1 Timothy 4, and in verse 10. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. God the Son. In Matthew 1, verse 21, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Hebrews 5, and in verse 8. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. Luke 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And God, the Holy Spirit, in His part. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11. And such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. John 14, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. John 16, verse 13. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. In Ephesians 6, verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then certainly God's grace. Acts 15, verse 11, but we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. Romans 3, verse 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2, and in verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, and not of works, lest anyone should boast. Titus 2, and verse 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. God's love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. 1 John 4 and verse 7 through 10. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we love God, but He loved us, and He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God's mercy. Titus 3 and verse 4, but when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 1 and in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We are saved by hope. Romans 8 and verse 24, for we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Titus 1 verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God who cannot lie promised before time began. The life of Christ, that is speaking of His resurrection. Romans 5 and in verse 8. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled we shall be saved by His life. Luke 9, verse 56, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And John 11, 26, and whoever lives and believes in Me shall never die. Do you believe this? In Galatians 2 and in verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. The cross of Christ, His sacrifice. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Galatians 6 verse 14, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. And the blood of Christ, which He shed on Calvary. Matthew 26, verse 28. For this is My blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Romans 5 and in verse 8. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Ephesians 1 and in verse 7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Hebrews 9 verse 22, and according to the law almost all things are purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no remission. 1 Peter 1 verse 18. We're going to pause for station identification. Oh, thank you. I owe you one, Terry. 1 Peter 1 and verse 18. Knowing that you were redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. In 1 John 1, verse 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. The name of Christ, that is, the authority of Jesus Christ. John 20, verse 30, and truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. Acts 4 and verses 10 through 12. Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by Him this man stands here before you whole. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. In Acts 10:43, to Him all the prophets witness that through His name, whoever believes in Him will receive remission of sins. God also gave us the gospel. Romans 1, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is received from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, and by which also you are saved. If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain, for I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. James 1:21, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. 1 Peter 1:23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. God's preachers, His messengers of the gospel. Mark 16:15, He said to him, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21, for since in the wisdom of God the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 13 and 14. God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which He called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the 14th, last one that I could find concerning the work of God in my salvation in John 8:31 and 32, Jesus said to those Jews who believed in Him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In 2 Thessalonians 2 and in verse 10, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. To stop and think about what God has done, it's an amazing thing. We've only given you the tip of the iceberg. Now let's look at our part, man's part. We must hear the words of the gospel. In Romans 10, verses 14 through 17, how then shall they call on Him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Proverbs 28, verse 9, one who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. Isaiah 55, verse 3, incline your ear and come to me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. In Acts 11, verse 13, he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house who said to him, "Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and all your house will be saved." Not only the hearing of the gospel, but believing it. The faith in Christ. John 8, verse 24, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." Romans 5 and verse 1 and 2, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope and the glory of God." Acts 16, verse 30, "And he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' So he said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household.' Then he spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house." Next is repentance of our sins. Acts 2 and verse 37, "When they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' Answer, verse 38, Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" Acts 3:19, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Acts 11, verse 18, "When they heard these things, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, 'Then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life.'" Acts 17:30, "Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." In 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10, "For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death." A fourth step, confession of our faith in Jesus. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." In Luke 9, verse 26, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." In Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, "And if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Acts 8, verses 36 and 37. "As they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?' And Philip said, 'If you believe with all your heart, you may.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.'" Fifth step, baptism in water. Mark 16, 16, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned." Acts 2, 38, "Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" In Acts 8 and verse 38, "So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." In Galatians 3, 26 and 27, "You're all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. "Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." In 1 Peter 3, 20 and 21, "When once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water, there's also an antitype which now saves us, baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Step 6, works that are specified by faith's action in obedience. John 6, verse 28, they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He sent." James 2 and in verse 20, all the way really to verse 26. "But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead?" Goes on to say, "You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." And the great passages throughout the book of Hebrews chapter 11. "By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. By faith Noah moved with godly fear and prepared an ark. By faith Abraham obeyed and he went out not knowing where he was going." And so forth throughout the rest of that chapter. Obedience. The obedience of our faith. In Romans 1 and in verse 5, "Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name." He then closes the book of Romans in chapter 16, 25. "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now has been made manifest and by the prophetic scriptures has been made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith." In Hebrews 5 and in verse 8, "Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him." Endurance is necessary for our salvation. Matthew 10, 22, "And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved." Hebrews 10, 36, "For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise." In Revelation 2 and in verse 10, "Do not fear any of those which are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested. And you will have tribulation 10 days. But be faithful unto death, and you will receive the crown of life." A passage we're referring to often here, saving ourselves because nobody else can do it. In Philippians 2 and in verse 12, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Acts 2 and verse 40, "With many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation." Verse 41, "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them." In James 4 verse 7, "Therefore submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded." In 2 Peter 1 and in verse 10, "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and your election sure. If you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Do you enjoy that reading as much as I did? I just picked out a few gems that I've always used in trying to teach my friends and neighbors about how to be saved. People have so simplified and dumbed down the scriptures and made God's grace so cheap by simply making statements like saying the Lord's Prayer or just making a few comments about how to be saved, when in reality it is a mosaic. It is a picture of all the various things that we've read and perhaps more. And as you piece them all together, you cannot be saved without any of them. In fact, I asked the question, which one of these can you eliminate and still be saved? The blood of Christ? God's grace? Your obedience? You can't eliminate any of these 23 items and find salvation. I think it's necessary that we all try to understand to the best of our ability all of these things so that we understand better God's manifold wisdom in working out from the endless ages this plan to take us to be home with Him in heaven. I ask that you consider memorizing at least one verse out of each one of these 23 things. Or at least have them in your Bible, ready at hand to share with a friend or a neighbor. We are saved in order to save. We've been redeemed in order to go out and reconcile people to Jesus Christ. To do that, I've got to know what salvation means and what it means to me personally by looking at all of these various things. The things that God has done for me and the things that God has asked from me. And I'm asking you tonight, if you have not been truly saved by the blood of the Lamb, by the gospel, by the cross, by all the things that are mentioned, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and all of their work that they did to bring about your salvation. Their grace and their love and their mercy. And then the things that they've asked of you to hear that gospel, to believe it, to truly repent of the things that you've done wrong against the God of heaven who is holy. And then to be one willing to confess Jesus here so that he'll confess you there. And then to be baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. To be faithful unto death, to be enduring to the very end, that you might receive that hope of promise. And by doing those things, the Bible clears up and says, then you will be saved. Are you saved this night? I want you to be saved, but more importantly, God does. He's gone to great lengths to make it happen. Tonight, if you're not a member of the saved people, like those 3,000 were added to them, you can now be added to God's people. Not just here, but throughout the world and throughout eternity, you can be added to that grand number. And if you have been saved, to appreciate what you've got and to go out and save others with that message. Thank you for your time this evening. Let's stand and let us sing, Where He Leads, I Will Follow.